It's the second Sunday of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. The Roman station today is Santa Maria in Domnica. In ancient times, the theme of today's Mass served as a summary of the first week. It developed its own liturgical identity later. Because of that later development, the station today assigned is one of the later churches, Santa Maria in Domnica, or Dominica, an old diaconal title the Roman Church assigned to a deacon. It had its origins in a house church, maybe that of Syriaca, a Roman matron who was a helper of St. Lawrence the Deacon, who is so venerated in Rome. It is possible that this was one of the sites where Lawrence did so much for the poor. The present church was rebuilt in the time of Pope Paschal, who died in 824. We are not exactly sure what Dominica or Domnica refers to. It may be a reference to the house or the matron who belonged to the Lord, Dominus in Latin. The other name for the church, however, is clearer. It is Santa Maria in Domnica alla Navicella. Navicella refers to the marvelous marble statue of a boat in front of the church, which has been turned into a well-known fountain. It was moved here by Cardinal Giovanni Medici, who became Pope Leo X. Inside you see Greek mosaics from that time, the time of Pope Paschal in the 9th century. Paschal is depicted in the mosaic as a tiny figure kneeling at Mary's feet. Mary is depicted as Theotokos, with the child Jesus on her lap as if he were sitting on a throne. They are surrounded by angels and saints in dazzling white robes, and the garden surrounding them is planted with blood-red poppies, which reminds us of the blood of martyrs. Paschal was still alive when they made this mosaic, and so he is shown with a square halo. He is kneeling down to kiss the Blessed Virgin's slipper. From an Angelus address for the second Sunday of Lent in 2008 by Pope Benedict XVI. The mountain, Mount Tabor, like Sinai, is the place of nearness to God. Compared with daily life, it is the lofty space in which to breathe the pure air of creation. It is the place of prayer in which to stand in the Lord's presence, like Moses and Elijah, who appeared beside the transfigured Jesus and spoke to him of the exodus that awaited him in Jerusalem, that is, his Pasch. The transfiguration is a prayer event. In praying, Jesus is immersed in God, closely united to him, adhering with his own human will to the loving will of the Father. And thus, light invades him and appears visibly as the truth of his being. He is God, light of light. Even Jesus' raiment becomes dazzling white. This is reminiscent of the white garment worn by neophytes. Those who are reborn in baptism are clothed in light, anticipating heavenly existence. This is the crucial point. The transfiguration is an anticipation of the resurrection, but this presupposes death. Jesus expresses his glory to the apostles so that they may have strength to face the scandal of the cross and understand that it is necessary to pass through many tribulations in order to reach the kingdom of God. The Father, whose voice resounds from on high, proclaims Jesus his beloved Son, as he did at the baptism in the Jordan, adding, "Listen to him." To enter eternal life requires listening to Jesus, following him on the way of the cross, carrying in our hearts, like him, the hope of the resurrection. Spe salvi, saved in hope. Today we can say, transfigured in hope. Turning now in prayer to Mary, let us recognize in her the human creature transfigured within by Christ's grace, and entrust ourselves to her guidance to walk joyfully on our path through Lent. Thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing, with another Lentcast. In the meantime, please pray for me as I will for you.